This podcast is sponsored by Runway, air traffic control for your mobile releases. Put your releases on autopilot. Runway will shepherd your release from kickoff to submission to release with no manual intervention. A single source of truth for your releases. Runway integrates with your favorite tools for a bird's eye view over release progress and blockers. Make your releases collaborative. Get a rich, contextualized release runbook that makes capturing responsibilities and tracking tasks crystal clear. Get more control on your releases on App Store and Play Store. Point your browser to runway.team. Thank you for sponsoring my podcast. I'm also revamping my newsletter. Check it out, appforce1.net to sign up. You can also find a sign-up link on my Twitter profile. Hi, and welcome to the 76th episode of my podcast. My name is Jeroen Leendertz, and I've been developing software for over 20 years, developing iOS apps for over 10 years, and I'm running Dutch GoCats for over 9 years. If you're an iOS app developer, you should listen to my podcast because it will keep you updated on interesting articles, conferences, and events you might not have heard about. In this episode, I'm going to talk about exporting data from Unified Logging System in Swift, transitions in Swift UI, unit testing and UI testing in Swift, the hidden cost of your dependencies, how to create a GitHub action to upload DSIMs, and Swift UI performance tips. So let's get started. So it's already Tuesday, so normally I release my episodes on Mondays, but it's been an interesting weekend. I had like the Easter weekend, so I've been off from Friday till Monday, and I completely disconnected of everything. So that also meant that I couldn't record my episode on Monday. So recording it right now, been very busy today, so I'm going to do a quick recording and dive into the news articles of this week right away. I will update you more on things that are happening in my work life and my private life next week. So this week I will just make do with some articles that I think you should be aware of. Also, make sure to check back my previous episodes for some tips on conferences you should attend. So definitely check that one out. It's in the show notes, so easy to find. So just let's get started and dive in with the first article. First article is by Swift with Majid. So that's a follow-up article of his previous article on the unified logging system in Swift. And this week he writes a nice follow-up article that shows you how you can export data from the unified logging system in Swift. So it's a bit of a user interface that you can put in your app to make sure that you can actually easily capture the logging from the unified logging system without much hassle by an end user. So you can capture data from the unified logging system by doing some sort of a Vulkan death grip on your device and then exporting it somewhere deep from within settings. But with this bit that Majid suggests, you can facilitate this process to your users much easier and much more convenient, thus allowing your users to much easier catch you some logging if they run into issues with your app. So definitely check it out. If you use OSLog in your code, make sure to look at this article because there's some really good tips in there. The next article is by Objective-C.io, Transitions in Swift UI. So it's an article based on their findings from their Swift UI workshop, because they notice quite often that very few people seem to know about transitions in Swift UI, even though they are not very complicated and very, very useful. Transitions happen when a view is removed from the view tree or added to the view tree. However, if you've done Swift UI, you will have noticed that there is no actual way to add views to the view tree. There is no add sub view like you had in UIKit, right? Instead, you can add and remove views through the combination of state change and using an if statement or a switch or for each. In other words, views are somehow added and removed for us automatically, yet transitions fire only once. So it's an article about transitions in Swift UI and how you can deal with them and make sure that they behave and are present in your app in a way that you want them to happen. Definitely check this one out because it's another one of those really deep articles by Chris Heidhoff that has a lot of explanation and helpful view hierarchy images that will allow you to better understand what he is talking about in his descriptions. Next article is by a new blogger, at least someone that I don't know yet. That's Quahar Kalik. Hope I said that correctly. Unit testing and UI testing in Swift. His article covers unit testing and UI testing, which together play an important role not only in proving that code is correct at the unit level, but also in demonstrating that the application meets user requirements. While unit test seeks to create rapid and regular feedback loops for developers to gain confidence in correctness of the code, UI testing validates the application as a whole from an end user's perspective to ensure that the final product performs as expected by users. In his article, he Kaver explains what unit testing and UI testing is, and he also provides some case studies on how you can actually work with these two types of testing in Xcode and how you can get familiar with this if you're not yet familiar with this concept of automatic testing to begin with. So, good reminder if you are working with unit testing and UI testing, and a definite must read if you are not yet familiar with these concepts. Then there's the fourth article called The Hidden Cost of Your Dependencies. It's by Jason Zurita, and dependencies in your projects have hidden, possible unthought of, or ignored costs when adding. Dependency managers, tools like Swift Package Manager and Node Package Manager, make adding third-party libraries almost too easy. With a few clicks, you can import thousands of lines of code into your project and ship that to your users. Sounds great, right? You got the task done, but at what cost? Did you think of the maintainability of the code, impact to your career growth, security implications, the complexity of what you just brought in, or how about the transitive dependencies? Because a dependency can have their own dependencies, and those get brought along with your dependency as well. So, especially with Node packages, those can be like quite a lot of packages that are underneath just one single import. So, using a dependency is not always bad, but you should be intentional about it and when you want to use it and what the trade-offs are. So, in this article, Jason goes over the hidden cost of dependencies. So, that's complexity, versions, ripple effects of updating dependencies, build times that new code is yours to support. So, any dependencies code is something that you need to make sure that it works in your context. And it's a good overview if you are working with third-party dependencies and you have to make your assessment on whether or not you should actually work with this third-party dependency. So at Stream, we also try to make sure that we hit all the checkboxes to make sure that Stream as a third-party dependency isn't bad for your code base. And we put a lot of effort in making sure that everything works as it is supposed to, and that the impact of this dependency is as little as possible on the rest of your code base. So lots of interesting bits in this article, and I fully align with what Jason Zurita says, because I'm also one of these developers that always thinks that fewer dependencies is often always, that's most of the time is better than having more dependencies. The fifth article is by Sam Wise, how to create a GitHub action to upload desims. GitHub actions are jobs that you can run on GitHub machines. Sounds simple. When you build an iOS code base on GitHub actions, you also need some way to get the desims, that's the debug symbols, of your compiled binary somewhere. So probably you want to upload it to some sort of a crash analytics service, or you want to have it locally so that once crash logs come in, you can at least symbolicate them, that you can understand what the crash was about, right? So in his article, Sam goes over the details of what you need to do to get these desims working. So first he creates a GitHub workflow, then he defines the job within the workflow. Then you need to get some interaction going with the App Store API. He's using Fastlane, and then you're off to the races. The reason that you need the App Store API details is that if you use bytecode in your application's binary, so if you have that enabled in Xcode, you need to make sure that you get the desims from the App Store API, because those are actually correct for the finally deployed binaries of your application. Because if you use the desims that are generated locally and you have bytecode enabled, then those do not match up with what the end user is actually running on their device. Then the final article is by my colleague Martin Mitrevsky. He put an article called SwiftUI Performance Tips on his own personal blog, and it's a really nice overview of what it takes to make sure that a SwiftUI user interface works all the time without any hitches or glitches on any device that is currently supporting SwiftUI on their device. So I think that's iOS 13 and onwards. So good tips in there, some simple things that you should be aware of, and also some more intricate things and ways that you can actually make sure that you understand where the performance is going within your process. So that's some details of the Instruments application that is packaged with Xcode, which is a profiler that you can use to analyze the performance characteristics of your iOS application. Definite must read, really good article, and I think this is also one that you should check out. So this week I've got like 6 articles for you: exporting data from unified logging, transitions in Swift UI, unit testing and UI testing in Swift, the hidden costs of dependencies, how to create a GitHub action to upload dsyms, and Swift UI performance tips. And I think you should have a look at all 6 of these articles. So that's it for this week. If you have any feedback, please reach out on Twitter at AppForce1. I'm just a DM or an ad mention away, and I really look forward to hearing from you what you think of my podcast and the articles that I link in my podcast. Talk to you again next week. Bye-bye. Lead Developer, best practices and tips for lead software developers. PDF, MOBI and EPUB format. appforce1.net/lead developer, all one word.